First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. When you find it, you may stand the reading for the word. The reading of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in a manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The subject for today is, be ye holy. Amen. Be ye holy. God, we just thank you. We praise you. We lift you up, God. You have seen, you know the hearts of your people on today, Father God. And Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will lift those spirits up, God, and give them the peace that surpasses all understanding. So God, we claim victory in every situation that we're going through, Lord God, because we know in the end that it's yay and amen. So God, we praise you, we honor and magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to talk about be ye holy. There is a requirement that is the only way we're going to get in heaven is to be holy. So what Peter is doing is writing to the believers about the glories of salvation and how the reality of this salvation, of the Christian living hope, is a mystery to even the prophets and the angels. They didn't even know what was going on. And how they wonder about the salvation in that grace that was to come. Now, what the prophets and the angels did not know, though, is that the believers' living hope was based on their new birth, which should lead to a lifestyle of holiness. Don't you know we can't do this by ourselves? We need, so that's why we have to yield to the Spirit that is in us to help us to live a holy life, to help us to talk right, to help us to walk right, to encourage others even when you need encourage. Hallelujah. The price that was paid for believers' redemption calls for reverence and obedience. Did you hear that? Reverence and obedience. Now, let's look at verse 13. I'm not going to be long. The first word, therefore, in verse 13, points back to the preceding discussion that Peter was focused on about our salvation hope. And that we entered into that hope when we committed ourselves to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and also to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you look at the last words of verse 13, it speaks of Jesus Christ is revealed, which points ahead to his second coming. That's why as believers, we must not forget the first chapter of our salvation or ignore the last chapter. Amen. Because the first chapter affects the second chapter and the second chapter affects the first chapter. So in each chapter there's a book. And that book is a book of life experiences that we go through to bring us closer to God. And also to keep us focused that even though we're going through that, we don't worry about through, we just go through it knowing that if we hold on to him and stay steadfast and unmovable, we can help us to go to the end. you ask that? In verse 13, Peter is giving encouraging words how to prepare for that day. Hallelujah. And he gave five exhortations. Number one is to prepare your mind for action. Number two is to be sober. Number three is to set your hope on God's grace. Number four, do not conform to evil desires. And the last one he kept, be holy. Let me say that again. Number one is to prepare your mind for action. The right action. Jesus Christ action. The Holy Spirit action. The anointing action. Not Reverend Herman action. Not Pastor Gordon action. But the anointing of the Holy Ghost action. And the next one is to be sober. Don't be drunk. That's not what Peter's saying. Use his mind right. In order to handle the situations that are thrown at us unexpectedly. Which every day we wake up is something that is thrown at us that we need to handle on a spiritual level instead of getting angry. And then it's to set your hope on God's grace. Set your hope on God's grace. The grace that I talked about, which is that first chapter. Sometimes we let that first, second, and third chapter of grace get away from us with salvation. Then we get withdrawn from Christ Jesus. Then we try to seek and catch up. But if you just hold on to when you first got saved, and just hold on to that, and then that next level leads you to the next thing. Because see, salvation is a continuation. It does not stop when I'm saved. Hallelujah. There is a process. We want a microwave fix, but we don't want the process. The process is it's a price that you have to pay. And the next thing is do not conform to evil desires that is in the world. The lust. Your eyes see things that you think you want that ain't good for you. Hallelujah. I want a new car. That ain't good for me. You know why? Because I don't want to pay for it. So I'm going to leave it just where it is. My eyes want it, but I don't want it. My heart don't want it. Not that I can't pay for it, because I can pay for it. I don't want it. Hallelujah. And then is to be holy. Now, look how they put holy as the last thing. But when you put it all on top of everything else that has been said, you have to be holy to prepare your mind. You have to be holy to be sober. You have to be holy to set your hope on Christ Jesus, even if you can't see it. And then that hope is going to keep you from not be conformed to the desire of what's going on in that world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. But you got to be holy. Now, let's look at number one, is to prepare your mind for action. I promise you, I ain't going to be up here long. God could be me being up here all day and night. I want you to get it. See, we come to church, we hear a word, then we go back home and still act the same way that we do when we heard that word. It's time out. Is to prepare your mind for action. Now, in the first century, people who wanted to walk fast or run quickly faced a problem. You know why? Because of their long robes. The robes was long all the way down. So what they had to do was to gather up their robe. This one ain't going all the way down. But it's a symbol of what they do. They gather up that robe. And they put it around them. In those days, that meant gird up your loins. But that's what Peter is talking about. It's not about girding up your garment. It's girding up you. It's a personal walk in order to be able to withstand the evil days that we so much on the outside and the inside all messed up. It has to start at the inside. Because if it don't start at the inside, it's just a bunch of noise. And when the battle does come, then we don't have enough to hold on to sustain that battle. Amen? And so this covering up or preparing your mind is to pull your thoughts together as we go out into this hostile world, because it's hostile. I don't care how nice you try to be, it's hostile. I was standing up in Clico the other day to pay my bill, and the girl that I was getting out of my car to come pay my bill, the girl that was leaving, I thought she was leaving. She was going to her car. This girl came back in Clico. I'm standing in line, and she stood right there. I didn't say nothing. And so finally she kept on ishing right in front of me. I said, okay, God, you're going to help me with this. And so I asked her, I said, ma'am, and I know I just seen her go to a car. I said, ma'am, are you want to get in line? Well, I was here. But do you think I was going to tell that lady that you was coming, you was leaving when I was coming? No, baby, it ain't worth that. You just come right on in line. So that's why I say your mind got to be right when you're dealing with some of these young ones. I ain't talking about y'all in here. It's some young fools out there that you can't even look at them hard unless they ready to be smart with you. And then she had nerves to tell me, well, you didn't have to talk like that. I said, the devil is a lie. I said, ma'am, if you thought that I said something ugly, I apologize to you. I said, but all I asked you was you trying to get in line. She couldn't say nothing else. See, if I had got smart with her, ain't no telling what would happen. But I know I'm older. I know I'd have got out of her way, but the policeman right in there, I wasn't worrying about it, because I'd have told the police, here, come get her. I don't fight like I used to. So, shoot. Amen. So that's why as believers, we are to avoid panic, distraction in times of persecution. Be humble about it. Take it. Because in the end result, I may see that young lady again, that I may be able to minister to her. It's not about how I felt when she said that, but it was idea I didn't say nothing. Amen. And so if our thoughts are not together, we have a tendency to become rattled and confused. But the gate of mind is strong, it's composed, it's cool, and ready for action. And even if it's not all these things, I act like it even if it's not. You don't have to show nobody where you are at any particular time, because God know you.
Thank you for listening today to Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Prophetess Herman has a new book called The Holy Spirit Last Sayings to This Millennial Age, The End of the Beginning. This book, along with other books written by Prophetess Herman, can be